Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I've written four books, the first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt, and then secondly, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. And then I wrote Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversity, and my new release, Unlimited Possibilities. You can get it on Kindle, at Amazon, and also from my website. I invite you to visit and peruse through it at www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. I have my co-host with me, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. I am also an entrepreneur, speaker, and author. My new book, From Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. You can also get it at Amazon.com, and you can check out my website at ShirleyMCarter.com. Thank you for joining us.
I'm glad to have you back, Shirley. We were off the air last weekend. Hopefully, individuals took advantage of replaying the show from the previous week. One of the things we do at Hot Topics from the Soul is we try to give real-life information, real, it's because we handle social issues, relationships, family, finances, and more. We want to keep the audience in tune with what's going on in our communities. Last week, I had the honor of speaking at FSU Institute for Domestic Violence organization there in Tallahassee. It was my first time going to Tallahassee, and it was definitely an experience to connect and bond with some of the other survivors. I tell you, Shirley, it was, you know, an incredible evening that we spent, and that night I had such a hard time going to sleep because listening to the stories of my dear sisters that were survivors, and then the rehashing of my own domestic violence that I suffered for 19 years living with my marriage to my husband at that time, and the things that me and my children went through from being homeless and, you know, being ostracized by the church and all these different things go along with that program because I was married to a pastor. Then I went on to Houston, Texas with my dear friend, Dr. Deva Daltrey, who is the founder of TWEF, which is Texas Women Empowerment Foundation, and her organization is doing a powerful work there. You can find out more by visiting twef.org, and she is doing an amazing, incredible work there with youth, with the young people. She takes them on trips to D.C. and enlighten them on, and to open their possibilities to things they ordinarily wouldn't have the opportunity to do given their environment and their circumstances. And then I had the opportunity of speaking with a young man. His name is Joel Gresham, and he's the founder of Not One Forgotten, a cancer awareness not-for-profit organization. And he was telling me, I heard that the prostate awareness was in September years ago, but I never heard anything about it, Shirley. After that, you know, I thought it was all included in breast cancer awareness, which we celebrate in October, along with Domestic Violence Month. So October has a lot going on. So when I was talking with Joel, and he says, oh, no, September is prostate awareness. And I said, well, I've got to get you on the show because I know Les Brown, who is my dear friend, and, you know, I've worked with him for 17 years, and he is a survivor of prostate cancer. So it is something that I'm very committed to bringing awareness to. Joel, are you there?
I'm here. Good evening.
Thank you so much for joining us. And you're the founder of Not One Forgotten. Tell me, how did you come up, what made you decide to create, formulate this organization to bring awareness to prostate cancer?
Well, 3 years ago, I was watching a media coverage of about how many women as well as men would be affected with cancer and why pink and the pink ribbon was so powerful in the fight. And it made me think as an artist, wow, what do we have out there? you know, and I discovered that there was nothing out there for men. And I started doing some careful research, and I discovered that we had a problem. CDC estimated about 300,000 men would die of cancer this year. And
wow.
Because statistics show that men, you know, normally wait until it's too late to get a checkup. And that's one of the major cause of death, of those 300,000 deaths. So I wanted to do something about that. And then besides, after losing two good friends and family members to this deadly disease, I knew I needed to get out there real fast.
Wow. You know, for those listening that don't have a clue of what prostate cancer is, it's cancer that occurs when cells in the prostate gland grow out of control. There are usually most often no early symptoms of this cancer, except for some men experience urinary symptoms and discomfort. Is there anything else that we should know as it relates to prostate cancer? Because, you know, most of the times when we're dealing with cancer, there are no immediate signs unless you go and have a checkup and they say, oh, you have breast cancer. Oh, you have urinary tract cancer. You have this cancer. So do you know of any other things, any methods or ways to encourage men to go and have this checkup done, Joel?
Well, it's really a very interesting topic for men because we normally don't like to talk about it. And so we had to try to find a very simple way so that we could begin to start encouraging men to get checkups. And there are several checkups, but the simplest checkup is the PSA, which is a blood testing. And that is the thing that, and just to convey that to guys, because a lot of men, they have no clue. So that's just one of the reasons why we decided to create Not One Forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so who is Joel Gresham? Tell us a little bit about yourself, because some people have the myth of saying, oh, it won't affect me, or I won't ever know anyone that has any type of cancer, let alone prostate cancer. So
well,
what
I'll
do
tell
you do for a living? What's your profession?
Well, I'm an entrepreneur as well. I'm a nationally acclaimed artist, author of several books, and I like to I consider myself as an inventor because I like to create little things that or improve on existing products just to make life a little bit better for us, and that's how we came up with Not One Forgotten, because I thought that one thing that I discovered that wasn't out there was a symbol for men's cancer awareness. We have absolutely no powerful symbol to rally around. Now, don't get me wrong, there is a blue ribbon, but men typically don't wear ribbons. And
right.
we have just gone through the month of September. And how many blue ribbons you've seen of anybody wearing throughout this United States? You didn't see anything on television, and not too many people were talking about it in churches. I mean, if you think about it, you could probably count it all in one hand, how much you've heard about that particular symbol, the blue ribbon, and prostate. Now, one thing I want to explain a little bit more of is my symbol, the blue and black necktie, it represents all cancer. And that's where it's very, very serious, because even though we are focusing on prostate, the leading cause of cancer death in men, believe it or not, is lung cancer.
Wow.
Then it's prostate, and then it's colon cancer. Go figure that one.
Wow.
Wow.
So, you know, as I started the show, I said that, you know, October is breast cancer, and I thought that it emanated all cancers. So that is incorrect.
Yeah. Well, you know, because October month focused on breast cancer. We had to try to find a month that will represent all cancer in men. And like I mentioned earlier, there were only two symbols out there. There were a blue ribbon and excuse me, ladies, a pair of golden walnuts. And men are not going to wear that on their chest either. So you start looking at something that can be recognizable. And in that symbol alone, like you ladies, this is what you all do so well. You all rally around pink and the pink ribbon. I mean, think about it. That in itself, it's a clue to a lot of women saying, well, hey, I need to get my mammogram, or we are going to continue this fight forever. When you look at men, I hate to say it again, look at September. You saw nothing, and that's my point. That's why we're out here fighting every day, pushing the pins, giving out information, and asking, you know, men, have they been checked up?
Hmm. Joel.
Yes.
I, you know, in my understanding of prostate cancer, because I've worked with a committee, we dealt with prostate cancer before, and a lot of people are not aware, like you said, about the disease itself. It's almost like something that we really don't talk about in society. The pink has overtaken all cancers. Breast cancer has. It is very prevalent. It's all over. You know, you can't go any place during the month of October and not see something that represents breast cancer. I never knew that September was prostate cancer awareness. And I have worked on a committee for a while, a long time ago, but they didn't have a month at that time. And another thing that, I'm sorry, another thing that came up about is that statistically, the men that are attacked most are African-American men.
Absolutely. Think about this. If the shoe was on the other foot, let's say the majority of white men and Hispanic men, or let's just say white men were dying, you know, by the thousands like African-American men are. Tell me, what do you think will be happening? All over the globe.
All over the globe.
Yes. That is my point. But through my research, I began to realize and wonder why that focus is not on men, because the majority of the men that are dying are African-American men. Now, I created this organization for all men because one of our goals is to save one life. If we could just save one life, we've done a fantastic job. And I'm proud to say that this year, even though we've been out of the gate only for about 6 months, we've had men to go get checkups. That's the beauty behind it. And The thing that really stuck with me is because when I designed Not One Forgotten, you know, our mission was very, very simple. Our mission is to focus on awareness as a link to encourage men to get regular checkups, you know, as a preventive measure, to stay healthier and to live a little bit longer. And our main goal, Valerie, is this. Our main goal is to permanently put an end to complacency and fear.
Mm.
Men have egos. We're hard-headed. And we don't think, you know, especially because we grow up as athletes and we don't have this problem for so many years, And all of a sudden, you know, when we're getting around our 40s and 50s, then we begin to hear a little bit more about it because things begin to happen to our bodies. And all of a sudden, you know, they begin to think like, wow, you know, they hear someone who has been diagnosed with the disease or they've heard someone that probably died the disease, but we still block it out of our minds because we don't think it will happen to us. If we're feeling halfway decent, we say, well, okay, our back is just stiff, so, you know, we don't go to the doctor and get it checked. African-American men are really notorious for not going to get checkups, and that's one of the main problems. So we discovered that to fight this disease, we could talk about all the technical parts of it, the medical parts of it, but here's the number one thing that would save our lives, Valerie. If we can preach or push awareness and say, hey, brother, have you checked out lately? And they go get checked out. What's going to knock that number down and it's going to save a lot of men's lives, and especially African-American men, is the fact that they're just going to their primary doctor and they're getting that checkup, catching it before it spreads. Because one thing about prostate, even though the prostate gland in itself, it sits close right next door to the rectum. But the problem with the prostate is if it's left untreated for so long, it becomes, you're talking about dangerous, it spreads throughout the whole entire body like a wildfire.
Well, Joel, what causes prostate cancer?
Well, a variety of things. A poor diet, exercise. Think about all the fast foods like the McDonald's and Burger King. I mean, maybe some of your sponsors, so forgive me for that, but hey, but still, fast foods, lack of exercise, sleep, you know, we got obesity in us, high blood pressure, diabetes, all of those things contribute to prostate cancer. Stress. So those are the contributors.
Okay.
And of course,
so,
it could be hereditary as well. So if they've had someone in their family down the line who've had cancer, then that's another cause of a person who could, you know, be diagnosed.
So do white men get prostate cancer at all?
Yes. But the thing with them is either it all depends on if it's something that is too serious. I mean, they go to checkups. They have health care. And not all, don't get me wrong, because a lot of them do die from the disease as well, and they're just as hard-headed. But the majority do go and get checkups, and sometimes they're caught. It's caught early, or if it's at a certain stage. There's two stages that you want to catch it early is stage one and stage two. If it gets to three and four, that's almost like a death sentence. And that's one of the reasons why they're able to catch it. Early checkup.
Okay. Now in men, when they are diagnosed with cancer, is it primarily where it starts in their prostate and then metastasizes out, or it could disappear any number of places?
Yeah, well, if they discover that it's prostate and it's untreated, then, yeah, it would travel different parts of the body. And it gets in the bones, the tissue, the brain. I mean, it goes everywhere. But, see, even though they're considered to be one of the leading causes, and one of the simplest, I mean, one thing about it, what we're saying is it's preventable. I mean, in a sense, it's treatable at early if it's caught early. The age is normally when they say that they should go, men should get checked out, is around 40 and no later than 50 years of age. But that's one form of cancer in men. That's why we're doing men cancer awareness for all cancer, because lung cancer is devastating. It's devastating black men, and as well as colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are many more. So, but because I think of maybe some famous people like Anna Palmer and some other folks who were diagnosed with the disease, they were able to bring it more to a forefront, you know, talking about it on television and things of that nature. So they had easy access at that particular point. But that was just one dimension. And Arnold Palmer, he's a survivor, and he's still around today.
Okay. But now, can prostate cancer be treated holistically?
I think, yes, it can, but that's one phase of it. Not being a medical doctor, so I really...
With the diet. Because you said your diet can cause prostate cancer, so
I think what helps a great deal is exercise, eating properly, a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables. I mean, and of course, it's going to have other great benefits behind that. Exercising, you know, because you're going to keep your weight down. Obesity is one of the worst because, you know, especially you've seen a lot of men, especially there in South Florida, with pot bellies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And think about it. You know,
okay, so does the large stomach mean that they are more at risk for prostate cancer?
Yes.
Stomach is large?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that and a lot of think about this. Not only just prostate cancer, you're looking at heart disease.
Yeah.
You mean you're looking at diabetes? With diabetes, it brings on a lot of those things: high blood pressure, heart disease, strokes. You name it. I mean, yes. I mean, if you're out of shape at that point, absolutely. The whole idea is to begin to change your lifestyle. It's just if you're diagnosed and you're a survivor, holistic really works very, very well. The whole idea is to, and then everybody who go get checked out, it doesn't mean that they're going to have it either, you know, because they have certain signs or symptoms. You know, they could be from a variety of things. So every man who go get tested will not be diagnosed with prostate cancer. But if they discover it early, then they could come back with a holistic part of it and add to their diet, you know, eating right, walking, jogging, riding bikes, things that was going to benefit them. Not just in the prostate area, but, you know, have a stronger heart, you know, just to improve their lifestyle. And one of the main things that I discovered too, Valerie, that men are concerned about, this is crazy. When I do go out and speak to men about this issue, the number one thing that they're concerned about is erectile this dysfunction.
Yeah.
And prostate.
Yeah,
issues with your prostate
that.
Causes that a great deal. Hmm?
Yeah, I can agree with that because I know that men that are on medication for cancer, that's the first thing they're concerned about is them being able to function sexually.
Yes.
You know, in some of it, there's this drug called, is it Lupron? What is it, Shirley? Is it Lupron or Lupron?
That's the drug that they use to actually help, you know, build the cells and everything back, you know, for them to function as normal as possible. And but one of the things, Joel, I want to touch on too when you talked about the diets and everything is that it is known that men that eat a lot of red meat and dairy products, that gives them a higher chance of getting prostate cancer. Usually these men tend not to eat a lot of fruit and vegetable. And when you're talking about the holistic, they're going to have to cut the red meat out. They're going to have to go with more fruit and vegetable diet. And, you know, even men have to be careful about calcium, taking too much calcium. If they're doing even supplements and everything, I've had prostate cancer in my family, and I knew what my brother-in-law had to go through as far as changing his diet, early stages of it, and what some of the things that you can do. And there are some of the other simple things that people tend to overlook that can cause prostate cancer. A lot of people don't know that back in the day when you were getting, like some people got chlamydia and gonorrhea, sexually transmitted diseases.
Yes.
That has a slight increase. Risk factor for prostate cancer, and even getting vasectomies at an early age. If you're like 35, you know, when you got it, you increases your chance of getting prostate cancer. They don't tell you these things when you have this stuff done, and I find that a lot of times when we don't talk to our doctor, we don't educate ourselves about certain things, and we don't have conversation. It's like when we go to the doctor, we tend to just accept, oh, you're fine, your pressure's kind of low or kind of high, but we don't ask questions. It's hard to get our men in there. Do you have a suggestion for us women on how to get our men to go to the doctor to get checked, just a routine checkup? A complete physical.
Well, I could tell you one of the things that we do when we're out there playing golf, you know, sometimes, you know, when you in a situation and you're over your ball and you know you hadn't been hitting that driver real well, instead of putting that driver in your bag and taking a lesser club and hitting the ball, which will make a lot of sense. It's hard for men to do. It's egos. Now, and I'm saying this in a unique way. What men don't get enough of is ego stroking. And if you want to get a guy to get checked out, and let's say it's someone that you just met, and, you know, he's very interested in you, and you're talking to him softly and things of that nature, and you want him to be you, then you say to him, you know, I'm enjoying you so much, you know, that I would like for you to be around for years to come. Trust me.
Yeah.
He would go. It's how you say it. And I took out one of the things that I as I was, you know, going through and feeling my way through this early on, I took out the word testing. For some reason, we don't like to hear that. It just seems so rigid to us. And if you say, well, hey, babe, you know, listen, you know, I'd like for you to come and go with me. I'm going to get a mammogram, and I'd like for you to get a checkup, you know. You know, it's a simple checkup. It's a PSA. That's one way, you know. And to get them started and to take them along with you, you know, to the doctor. Or you say, hey, listen, I'm going to go with you, you know, to the doctor. And there's a variety of ways, you know, giving them little symbols and things of that nature and continue to say to them, look, I care about you. Because I think probably married men probably going to last longer than single guys.
Wow.
One thing about that is at least the lady is going to stay on them, you know, whether it's going to be sweet or whether it's going to be all right. Now, listen, you know. You're going to get out of here today. So it all depends on the relationship and the situation. I mean, but there are a variety of ways you could get his attention. But keep in mind, it's about ego. And we like to feel good about ourselves. And if you can make that happen, then you could basically almost get us to do anything.
Joel, explain to the audience what a PSA is for those that don't understand what that means, that abbreviation.
Well, of course they have the medical term, but for most layman people and for men that are out there, it's just a simple blood test. That's all it is. A simple blood test. They draw the blood, throw in a vial, you know, send it out. I think you have to wait about 2 weeks. I know when I did mine, I had to wait for 2 weeks. And it comes back. And the whole idea is that you want a low number.
Okay, so the blood is drawn. What is, so they don't go through your rectum?
No. Well, if you want a thorough checkup, that is, believe it or not, it's one of the best checkups because they're able to feel the prostate. You know, the prostate's supposed to be firm, but one doctor told me that if it's hard when they touch it, then they have a little concern. And at that point, then they want to send you to an oncologist. And they, if they may suggest that they should do a biopsy, and which they go in, and then that's that's one of the third processes where they go in with a needle and prick around the prostate. And
is this a painful test?
Take it. That one, that third one is yes. That's a little painful. Yes,
it's
what
painful.
What I've heard from guys who have gone through that. Say that
so
again now.
Is it painful? Is it painful in the process or painful afterwards?
You have one doctor told me that you will have some discomfort after, but during the process as well.
Okay, so they don't knock you out.
No.
The
only one that I know that. Well,
can
I guess you can make that.
I
guess you can if you want to make that request. But the only way that I know that you're going to be knocked out on is when you go get your colonoscopy.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, how different is the prostate examination versus the colonoscopy? Is it likened into the same thing? Because I know they do knock you out for that.
Right, they knock you out because, you know, they want to check, and they normally, you know, when they check, like my brother, for an example, he went a few days ago, last Wednesday, and he had his first colonoscopy, and they were able to take away a couple of polyps, and that's what they do. They go in, and if you have polyps there on your colon, they want to remove those polyps, and then they go test those polyps to see whether they're positive or negative. And he was fortunate. He only had a couple of polyps. So, and then normally that test is when they put you to sleep, I mean, you'll wake up asking, you know, have you got started? And they're done.
Right.
So that's the difference between those two. One thing that is really crucial is this. Even though we're talking about the procedures, well, they're procedures that, if you look at it on a scope from 1 to 10, you know, it's going to be around 1 and 2. You know, just something simple as that. A little discomfort, you know, but chances are it's going to save your life. One thing about it, though, like someone who has an advanced age, they, at that point, if they never have been checked out, or if they, and all of a sudden they realize that, wow, they made a mistake, like my uncle, for an example, then all of a sudden, all the things that could have been prevented, the simple test, they didn't care. All the thing they want at that point is to get well. So whatever it takes to get well, they're going to allow that doctor to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between the two.
Okay.
Either you do it where it's very, very small with a little discomfort and basically not very high in terms of, you know, when you got to pay for that service, or you allow it to go on and all of a sudden it becomes a bigger scope. You're going to incur more bills, more hardship, you know, with your family and things of that nature and with yourself. And that's the part that we're trying to prevent, is that side of it.
How often should men go get prostate exams?
Well, I talked with a doctor, and he said that, well, if it's hereditary, you should at least be checked every year. You know, if people in your family have been dying, or been diagnosed with it, or have died from it, they think that you should, you know, at a certain age, you should, you know, at least have a doctor look at it every year, and that could be done probably with a PSA or if you want to, you know, go with the rectum exam. But if you're healthy and it's not hereditary and basically start at 40, then possibly again at 50. And, you know, so, and then it's up to the doctor to suggest, you know, amount of time that you, that he think you should come back and be rechecked.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of times when they say things are hereditary and family members is basically because they're eating that same diet. If you're, if your family is accustomed to eating red meat, it really doesn't have anything about your genes or hereditary. It's because of the fact that we're ignorant to the to what causes these diseases in the first place. So therefore, we repeat the cycle by funneling the same foods, the same non-exercise, the same not, you know, being conscious of our bodies. So, you know,
well, you hit the nail right on the head. I think if you're gonna, if you care about yourself, you care about your family, but especially loving yourself, you want to take care of yourself, you know, the best way you can. You know, I mean, okay, even though there are a lot of people out there who don't have health insurance and things of that nature, if you don't, there are still things you can do. You know, and that's, you know, you can walk every day. You know, if you feel good enough and you feel strong enough, you could jog a little bit. You could ride a bicycle. I mean, there's a variety of things you can do. You can eat an apple. You know, apples are great to eat. You can, you know, I mean, if you find yourself, you know, because, I mean, I try to be honest. I know it's hard to, some people can stay on and are very disciplined and can stay on their diets and exercise routine faithfully. But the majority of us, you know, we fall off the wheel every now and then. You know, we want to have a little something outside of a apple every now and then. But, and that's okay if you do it, in, you know, in moderation. But I think that if you really is concerned, you got to get out and walk, and you got to have a wonderful diet. And what that's going to do for men, especially if they're having prostate issues, because sometimes prostate could be swollen. That's why they, a lot of men get up in the middle of the night and have to go use the bathroom consistently, or their performance when it comes to sex. But if they want to have, if it's nothing serious, and if they take their vitamins or the salt, palmetto, you know, and eat right and begin to exercise and get that blood flowing to their bodies and lose some of that weight, woo, their ladies are going to be happy.
Well, let me say this to you. You know, I asked you what was the PSA, what kind of test was it, and what does it stand for, and it actually stands for prostate-specific antigen test. Now, if someone doesn't go and have this test done, but is listening to this call and changes their diet and exercise, as you say, can it be cured without going and having this test done?
Well, you're not going to know unless you go have the test. You have to have the checkup. It's only a checkup. And the thing is, it's a preventable checkup. That's the key to it. It's preventable. Only thing you're trying to do is to keep it from spreading. And like I said, everybody will not have, you know, prostate cancer. But it's good to know. And then if you don't have it, you know, hey, that's what better way to keep, you know, doing what you do in terms of if you're eating right, if you're exercising and things of that nature, or if you're not, you want to start increasing it once you get to a certain age. I mean, that's where it stands right there. I mean, it's going to be impossible just to figure out because everything is working well, because realistically, there's a good friend of mine who's a doctor, who's a dentist, and he was perfectly healthy. You know, he had no signs. I mean, the thing that he was concerned about was the fact that he was getting up and, you know, urinating, you know, 3 and 4 times a night. And, I mean, he didn't think too much about that. You know, he's still able to get out and play golf, and he just felt real good about himself. And so, but, you know, he decided that he would go get a checkup. Now, he could have ate right. He could have done a lot of different things. But that wasn't going to do it for him. So he went on and he got a checkup and a PSA, and his numbers was a little bit off, you know. And then he went back again, and the numbers, it just didn't regulate. So his doctor suggested that he get a biopsy. And he went out and he went out and got the biopsy. And there is where, and he, like I said, he had no symptoms. He had no back problems. He had no pains or anything, no symptoms. So you can't tell because you're feeling good. And when he went to have the biopsy, they discovered that, you know, he had cancer. And so he had to go through the process. And he caught it in the nick of time.
Yeah, that's the same thing that happened with Les Brown. He was on the radio show, and he was he had a guest on that was talking about prostate cancer. And the guest had said to him, you know, you're telling the listening audience to participate. When are you coming down to get your test? And he decided that he was just going to go just to say that he went for his radio audience. And when he went, he found out he had prostate cancer, and it was caught in time, of course. But, you know, that's why we have prostate awareness, breast cancer awareness, domestic violence awareness, is because we don't know what we don't know.
Yes.
Until we, you know, we go and check it out and find out, you know, what is causing them. And then a lot of times people's hearts fail them for fear, and they wind up dying because of the diagnosis, and, you know, losing faith and losing courage and worry themselves to death. So those of you that are listening and you are afraid to go and have the test, pick someone that loves you with you so that they can be there with you to encourage you along the journey. Rather the test result be good or bad, at least you'll have a support system. That's why I said take somebody that loves you. So that way they'll be ensured to be there today. And I have a dear friend, Janora Wims, and I tell you, she is a true friend. If she's your friend, she's your friend. I know when somebody is ill or going through something, even if she don't know you that well or know that you're an acquaintance of hers, and she feels or knows that you're hurting, she's going to be there through thick and thin. And I just want to, you know, take the opportunity to say kudos to her. And, you know, I want the listening audience to praise her strength, because she is one of the most loving, supportive persons I ever met. I said if anything ever happened to me and my family didn't see about me, she'd come all the way from Michigan just to see about me. And you need somebody like that in your life all the time, somebody that, you know, will answer your phone call, and if you're having a bad day, will just be there as a support system. So this is a good opportunity for those of you that are listening to decide who is in your life space that you can count on, and who is it that you're going to count out. You know, who's around you just for the fish and loaves, and who's there because they really care about you. And then you'll go to the next level and be a better individual and more healthier for it too. So, Joel, how are you going to get this organization on the forefront and the artwork for your tie? I didn't have the artwork, although I saw it, but I didn't have the actual artwork to, you know, send out so people could be familiar with it. But where can they find out more about your organization?
Well, we do have a website. It's www.notoneforgotten.org. And in the coming weeks, we are planning to strengthen that a lot more. We're going to redesign the website, as well as we have a wonderful project that we that I'm starting in a few days. So, as an artist, to raise money for Man Cancer Awareness, I'm going to attempt to paint 100 abstract paintings in less than 100 days. So I don't know if that's a Guinness Book of Record or what, but it's going to be very, very challenging. We're raising money. We're asking what individuals, they could purchase the paintings if they want to. They get a wonderful tax write-off. But if someone buys it through their company, they don't won't lose any money. It's going to only cost them $1,000. And the beautiful part about that is they get 100% of full tax deduction for the purchase of that painting. And it doesn't matter how many they would like to purchase at that point. So what they gain is a possibility of saving quite a few men's lives. Because just to go get a PSA check, it costs about $28 in some places. And so we could at least put that money towards awareness. And the best part about it, you get a great tax deduction, as well as if you decide to keep the original painting, a great investment going forward. So you get your money back at, you know, around tax time, and then you own a you have a great investment. And if you decide to give that art piece to a charitable organization, then there's additional tax deductions that you will receive through your company.
Okay. That's a wonderful project that you're undertaking. And
I hope
individuals will, you know, support you in your plight to do this. One of the things that disturbs me with individuals like you and myself that have nonprofits is that we're doing grassroots, and a lot of times people will say, wow, this is a great work he's doing, but I support breast cancer awareness or the American Cancer Society, so all my money will go there. But there are always little crooks and crannies that people don't see or don't recognize needs help, and that's where grassroots organizations come in. Just like for me personally, you know, I bump into people all the time that are going through life issues as a result of being in a bad relationship, physical, mental, or emotional abuse. And there is no support system for them. They're like thrown into this cesspool of, you know, financial assistance being weighted, you know, through the government. But then there is no way out. There's no mental motivation or stimulation for them to get out of that rut. They feel like talking to some of the ladies last week, you suffer domestic, you're a victim of domestic violence. You wind up in the system where either your kids are taken away because it brought out that you allowed your children to be victimized by that spouse. You become homeless in most cases, as I did, and you have no income because the perpetrator controls all the finances. You have no place to live, no food, and these things that seem small, but they're a big thing to someone who's trying to get an exit strategy. So organizations like myself cater to those individuals during Christmas and back-to-school time, because as many programs as we have out there, you know, giving away toys and stuff, believe it or not, Joel, sometimes during Christmas time, some of those organizations call me to see what I have because they're not able to meet the needs of the people that they have. And I'm a whole lot smaller than some of them that are getting millions, and sometimes they'll reach out to me. So what I'm saying all of this is to say, those of you that are listening and, you know, you have some interest in what Joel is doing, go to visit his website, notoneforgotten.org. Be a support when the events are coming up, that he's the events that he's doing for awareness. You know, bring one of your brothers to the event so that they can find out more about prostate cancer, that they won't be frightened where they won't go to the doctor and have procedures done.
Yeah, I think Valerie, you know, you made a good point there. With entrepreneurs, you know, like with your organization, here's the key. Where one may be strong and the other one is weak, we never merge because we are caught up into our own individual projects. If we learn to put that aside and say, well, okay, you know, you are doing this, but we're going to come and we're going to rally around you and we're going to see this particular project through. We don't get that all the time because it's a money issue. But with all these programs and projects, guess what, listeners? It costs money. American Cancer Society, they went over $1 billion last year. Susan G. Komen, the same thing. And then you got some organizations that are out there. I was listening to CNN, and they were talking about these cancer organizations who were making, you know, $26 and $30 million a year, and they're only giving 2% to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. And they work at, but even if they're doing it, you know, we're perceived to be dishonest, they still build a team. And that is something that we don't do as African Americans. We do not build that team. It's a very simple process, but trust has to be there as well. Look, in my position, I'm getting ready to paint 100 paintings. And either one individual could come and buy all 100, but it's only 100 people. That's nothing. But what we'll be able to do is we'll be able to launch and we'll be able to move around and be able to do some things to set us up so that we can raise more money to get awareness out there. Awareness costs because there's advertising and, you know, and radio and then, you know, to send out literature and to do, you know, the Canvas neighborhood, to put literature out there. It costs, and it costs
yeah,
for you. You're doing your radio program and you're doing domestic violence. That costs. Because you're getting the message out there, you know, you're spreading the word, and people don't, you know, seem to understand that. But these big organizations, trust me, end up in any one of those type situations that Valerie is talking about, and go to those big organizations and say, hey, lend me something, or can you give me something, and see what happens. You know, so many people have been turned away. So. Here's the deal. We could do this thing together, but we have to merge. And that's what makes any other organization so powerful and so strong. You know, it's a fun example. This past weekend, I presented the first Not One Forgotten Men's Cancer Awareness Award to Mr. Robin McFood of Food for the Poor. You're talking about an operation? It was incredible how they're working together. I mean, a well-oiled machine. And the beautiful part about it, they are doing exactly what they say, and they are able to raise money. And when you go into his office and in that into his organization, there is no major corporation that has given him a dollar. So it's working for him because they're individuals who is coming together and helping this cause, and you'll be surprised. It takes you and I, Val, and others that are out there that can come together. We make it happen, And then the next thing you know, I mean, then we could look at the next project, and then we could bring that project up.
Right. Well, I certainly appreciate you being here on another Hot Topics from the Soul to be a lifeline to the community, as I try to do each and every week, to empower and inspire individuals to tap into their greatness and become a better person, not only for themselves, but so that they can also touch somebody else's life, pass it along. Again, Joel Gresham, thank you for your foundation, Not One Forgotten, that brings awareness to prostate cancer. And Shirley, we'll be hearing from you during the month because you have a foundation, Against All Odds, that brings awareness to cancer as well,
wow.
Breast cancer awareness.
Yes, yes.
And you're also ready to go out of town and do a walk as well, Shirley, is that correct?
Yes, I am. I will be, for those of our listening audience that's in the Dallas and Fort Worth area, I will be in Dallas this weekend for the Sister to Sister Fitness Festival at the Cedar Hill Recreational Center. I will also be doing a book signing there. So come out and join us and support the cause.
Oh, wonderful. That's fantastic. Wow.
So, Joel.
Well, I'd like to thank you, Valerie, for having me. I mean, it's, you don't know how much it means, because through this show, we may have someone they go get checked out, you know, and
absolutely.
I cannot thank you enough for having me on and the opportunity to at least tell the audience about what we do with Not One Forgotten.
Thank you again. And you can take this show and forward it to individuals so that they can become enlightened. So this is another tool that you have to bring awareness to prostate cancer. So as soon as the show is over, you have the opportunity to download it and pass it along. I always tell people, if you can't use the information, pass it along to someone that you think may be able to use it. That's what love is. Love empowers, love excites, and it gives. It always encourages and motivates. So hug someone today, love someone, and remember that our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're more powerful beyond measure, by Marianne Williamson. Good night, and look forward to seeing you and hearing from you next Tuesday on another Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.